said, I have the opportunity to walk through again with you guys the last spiritual habit that we are walking through in this series. And I'm really excited. I think I said this last week when I talked, and that was the series has been really, really cool and eye-opening for me because it's given me an opportunity to look at bad habits in my life or habits that I wasn't as self-aware of. It's allowed me to reorient them and to look at them through the lenses of these spiritual habits. And so I love that I've learned how to pray more, how to pray in isolation and solitude, and then to learn what does it mean to read the Bible or what does this passage mean and how can I apply that to my life. And this week, I get to talk on service. And so this is something that I think is exciting, and sometimes I feel like I'm coming in and out. It's weird. I can also just use a mic if that's fine, if that works. But all that to say, when I think of service, there are a couple parts in my life. There are times in my life where I have served somewhere, served someone, served something, and in the midst of those realities, of those that opportunity to serve, those memories excite me. Those memories excite me because there are opportunities where I got to be with someone or see an instance, see a reaction, see an place that I wasn't expecting to be at. And I think it brought me a lot of joy. And so, again, like I said, when I see and I think about those memories, they excite me. However, one thing I noticed about those memories is that those memories aren't as consistent as I wish they were. So when I think about those memories, I think about mission trips, I think about the Adopt a Highway service opportunity we had that some of you went to, some of you have been on mission trips that are not affiliated with the chapel, some of you have been on mission trips that are affiliated with the chapel, and then there were just other service opportunities that we have on a daily basis. And like I said, when I think of those memories and how those memories excite me, I think about how inconsistent those things happen on a daily basis. They are situations or trips that happen maybe monthly or yearly, and those are things that I look forward to, but I thought to myself, man, I don't serve enough. I don't really understand what serve means. And so as I said that and as I look at that, we're going to talk about what it means to serve correctly and how to serve consistently in our everyday lives. Oftentimes, when I thought about those opportunities and places I served, there were some times in my life where my intentions weren't truly there to serve. And maybe you guys can attest to that for those that have served before. And in that, oftentimes, I would recall a mission trip or a situation that I went on a mission where I had an opportunity to serve, whether it was to build, or we had a mission trip in Nashville that I'll get to a little bit later, where we had this urban experience, and we got to speak and talk to homeless people. And we did that oftentimes in groups. And as I did that, I could recall that my intentions oftentimes were not truly there to serve, but to maybe look cool in front of some friends, look cool in front of maybe a girl that I was like, man, I think I like her on a trip. And I was like, man, I just want her to look like I'm all in, but I'm actually necessarily not all in. I'm just trying to look really, really cool. That was crazy. I don't know, maybe a mic would be good. I don't know if someone can get me that. I don't know, this thing just scares me. In that to say, man, I'm not yelling, I promise. Thank you, Elijah. But as I say that, I would notice that my intentions weren't right. Let's bring it in, y'all, let's bring it in. Thank you. And so, Glenn, like I said, tonight we're going to talk about what it looks like to serve correctly and how we can serve consistently in our everyday lives. And so right now in your heads, what I would love is I want you all to take and think about a time where you had the opportunity to serve in your life, where someone needed help or you were a part of a situation or a trip where you helped serve in some capacity. And while you're thinking about that, I'll give you a good, 20 seconds, and then Austin's going to give me a beautiful mic, and then I'm going to turn this one off so you guys don't hear weird fart noises. All right. So now that we're thinking about that, I want you to now think about an instance where you were serving, where you had a time in your life where you had the opportunity to serve, but you didn't. For some reason, maybe it was uncomfortable, or you didn't have your friends to kind of be with you to experience this reality or this opportunity to serve. Maybe you saw someone when you were getting off the bus and you're like, I think this person needs help, but I don't know. So I'm just going to be like, I don't know, actually. I'm not going to worry about it because I don't know. And I don't know is an easy answer, an easy out. So I want you to think about those two things. An opportunity in your life where you had a time to serve, where you served someone, you were on a trip,
And then I want you to think about an opportunity where you saw an opportunity to serve and you didn't because it was too uncomfortable, because of all the reasons that we can convince ourselves not to do certain things, whether good or bad. And now as we take those two things, what we're going to do is we're going to look at two passages in the Bible that help us understand what it looks like to serve. And those two passages are ones you probably have heard before, but they're really powerful ones. And so that first passage is Luke 10, 30 through 37. It should be broken up on our screen, and I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we're going to break it down. So it says this. It says, Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which one of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." See, what is incredible about this passage, not just the fact that not just the premise of the passage, but this is a passage, like I said, that I feel like, raise your hand if you've heard that story before, the parable of the Good Samaritan. That is a lot of hands. And what I love about that is, one, that we can understand and we can acknowledge this story, but what I find was so funny and fascinating is this, like I said, and what you guys have acknowledged, is not a story that you've not heard before, yet I often find myself not practicing this act of service that we see in the Good Samaritan. I don't see myself when I see someone hurt. I don't see myself ever, you know, going out of my way to look for someone and helping them out. I feel oftentimes maybe like the priest or maybe like the Levite. And so, what, like I said, we see a man who was robbed. He was left half dead. And a priest and a Levite walk by and past him. Maybe because in their own self-interest, that it gets in the way of helping the man. Boys, come on. See, for them, the priest and the Levite, it might have been too complicated to help this guy, whether it was from social bias and cultural bias or religious impurity that might come into place by helping a man like the one that has been robbed and beaten to death. But what I love, and we're going to read 33 through 35. I think I have that as a excerpt again. And it says again, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I get back.'" See, what I love is the Samaritan, we read his first inclination, his first reaction to seeing someone that maybe, again, would be uncomfortable or weird, or he doesn't know this guy, is his first reaction is compassion. He immediately feels for this man and is then willing to step out of his comfort zone, step out of the self-interest of, hey, I'm just trying to get to a place. I need to get somewhere. I have these denarii. I have this oil. I have my own animal. I could just do me and I could just get to my own spot. But we read, he feels compassion and he immediately steps out of his comfort zone and he serves the man. He goes right into tending and serving the man. He was willing to throw out his own self-interest, what others might think, why the heck are you doing that? And the Samaritan was willing to give up his own valuables. He was willing to give up his own wines and oils and wages and to put him on his animal as they walked and to take care of the man for all the needs that he might have. See, this story reminds us of this reality. See, as we read this story, we read that serving correctly takes uncomfortable interactions. It takes coming out of our comfort zone, stepping out of what is comfortable, what is abnormal, and stepping into an uncomfortable interaction. We find ourselves in the situation that may be uncomfortable often in our lives, that might feel weird, But what I've often found, and I've probably said this before in front of you guys, and in the moment it might not, but the places where you feel the most uncomfortable are often the places that God continues to show up and continues to grow us. So when we think about serving correctly, we need to think about the uncomfortable interactions that might come when it comes to serving people or serving in a way that is a mission trip or serving our friends. It might feel uncomfortable. It might feel out of the ordinary, but that is where God shows up. So in order to serve correctly, it takes uncomfortable interactions. I thought about this time in my life where I had the opportunity to lead a group of kids on this Nashville mission trip, and we had a day where, again, it was urban experience, so we had like 7 hours, I think it was maybe even more that, where they were like, hey, here's a checklist of things that you need to do, and those checklists was a list of tasks of ways that we could serve the community there, and they said, here's the list, go do it. And I'm thinking to myself, oh man, like, I don't know how this is going to react. Some of the things were like, go to a library and read about what it looks like to be homeless in a place that is very expensive. One of them was to talk to the people in the community and ask them, what do you think the homeless population does, or how do you think they react, or what are some ways that the homeless population could succeed, or what are some helpful ways that we can help them? And a lot of times you'd ask people and they'd be like, I don't know. I try not to think about it. Every time I see them, I kind of just put my head down. Occasionally, if I have some extra change, I give them some change, but they didn't really know what to do. And lastly, the last exercise that we had to do on this like urban experience Nashville trip day is we had to sit down and have lunch with someone that was homeless. And to me, I'm like, man, who knows how the interactions are going to be? Who knows what the story's going to say? Who knows how nervous these kids are going to be? Who knows if they're going to talk and if I'm going to have to talk? And so we were walking down Main Street, and if some of you have been to Nashville, it is really densely populated, and there's a lot of people just walking around. There's stores, there's saloons, there's everything you could ever imagine pretty much. And in that, we see a couple of homeless people, and they're kind of sitting at the end of the street, and they look pretty tired. They look pretty hungry. And so I sat there, and I gathered everyone up, and I said, okay, I'm nervous, and I'm sure you guys are too. So we're going to pray. And we prayed, and we walked over that woman and her husband at the time that we didn't know. And we had lunch with them, and I got to talk to them, and I got to hear their whole story. We got to pray over them. We had such an incredible opportunity to sit there and get to know them personally. See, if I had just sit there and looked at that uncomfortable interaction and said, hey, maybe we could just check it off the list and not worry about it, then we would have missed out on getting to know these two people. We would have missed out on this opportunity to pray for them, to share the gospel, to hang with them and get to know them. And oftentimes, like I said, we can miss that service opportunity because the situation is too uncomfortable. And so now as we walk into this opportunity, as we walk into what it looks like to serve consistently, I love this passage, and it is this, Mark 12:41-44. This is also a parable, and this is a parable you also probably have heard before, and it's this, the widow's offering, and it says this, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people put money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put more than all of those who are contributing to the offering box. For they are all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of poverty, has put everything she had and all she had to live on. See, oftentimes when I think about these trips, these serving opportunities, or situations in our life that we can think about serving, we can become really good at doing things that don't necessarily mean or have value for us. We can be really good at doing things that don't mean much to us. See, mission trips and serving opportunities can come and be a place where we can test our boundaries. We can be really good at being like, okay, this is uncomfortable, we're building a house, what the heck am I doing? I don't know how to use a shovel, I'm building septic tanks. And then right when that day ends, you could be like, okay, but I'm with my friends and I don't have to worry about that right now. So we could serve, but we can really test the boundaries. And when it gets close, we can retreat to our friends and we can retreat to home. We can come off of this trip, we can come off this service opportunity, we can come away from a reality like that and we can just come to our home and we don't have to necessarily worry about it. Like the rich people, it is easy to give generously because to them, it doesn't mean as much. They, again, gave in abundance. They had so much, so they were willing to give more, but it didn't mean as much to them. So So as we read about a woman who didn't have much, yet still offered all she had. We could think about a time where, man, maybe we had to give something up that we didn't want, or a friend forgot their lunch at school, and you're like, oh my goodness, like I'm hungry and now I got to give for you. There's a lot of situations in our life where we can say, and sometimes maybe you don't give that lunch. See, what I think about in this story is how hard it must have been and how uncomfortable it must have been for this woman to put herself in this position of financial vulnerability. She is giving all she has. She is saying, okay, this is all I have, but I know it's going to God. I know that he is going to take care of me and that he loves me more than anything. So I'm willing to sacrifice all that I have for him, not in abundance, not in comfort, but out of her comfort zone. She is willing to give all she has because she knows it's going to God. And so that's what I love about this passage. And that's what I love about what it looks like to serve, is what service looks like. And as we read in this passage, is it to serve consistently is to serve sacrificially. It might have been tough, and it might still continually be tough to give up a lot more than you want. It might be tough to be like, oh man, well, you know, as I walk through the city of Nashville, I end up giving my lunch and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know when we're going to eat. I don't know what's going to happen. But I knew that there was more to it than that. I knew God is going to provide. So when we think about service, we need to learn how to serve consistently and serve correctly. And so tonight, I hope that these passages have given you that opportunity to think about those realities. Whether those sacrifices may be time, whether those sacrifices may be energy, whether those sacrifices mean not having to think about yourself, but having to think about other people. Those sacrifices come in a lot of ways. And in order to serve consistently, we need to learn how to sacrificially live. I love this quote, and this is something I found when I was looking up the definition of biblical serving, and it says this. It says, the Bible teaches us that serving God and others is not about the great things, but doing the small things with great love. It's all about the posture. If we aren't willing to sacrifice it all for him, then what are we doing? If we aren't willing to give it all up for a God that has given his life and died for our sins, then what are we doing? See, in order to serve correctly and consistently, it takes uncomfortable interactions and sacrificial living. In order to serve correctly and consistently, it takes uncomfortable interactions and sacrificial living. Tonight, we looked at two passages. We learned what it looks like to serve correctly, like we read in the Good Samaritan. It takes uncomfortable interactions, even when you don't want to. And we looked at the second parable of the widow who gave all she had. We learned how uncomfortable and vulnerable and sacrificial it looks like to live for God and to serve for God. See, these are tangible realities that we need to take in order to learn how to serve. See, serving correctly and consistently takes uncomfortable interactions and sacrificial living. And that's all I have for us tonight. I'm going to pray us out, and then we can head to small groups and have some great questions. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, just thank you for this series of spiritual habits. Thank you for these opportunities for us to relook at places in our life where we have fallen short. And even in the midst of that, Lord, you have loved us beyond imagine. Lord, I ask that when we look at serving, Lord, that we can live and serve with humble hearts, Lord. We can serve sacrificially, Lord, and we can serve and we can put ourselves in uncomfortable interactions, Lord. Even in the midst of what doesn't feel right, it doesn't sit with us, Lord. We just know that those are the places you grow us the most. Lord, I pray in small groups that we can take this talk and we can just speak on it, Lord, and we can speak fruitful conversations. We can have fruitful conversations. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.